1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, that's the Sopranos update from R.C. Collins. Yeah, they are following Vito's story quite closely. Vito is, you know, he's out. He's out and proud, baby. I don't know about proud, but he's had to, he's had to split up to New Hampshire, and he did meet the volunteer fireman who rescued a child from a burning house. So it was love at first sight there for Vito. So will he be able to live there in the New Hampshire village? Will he be able to stay there and be peaceful and find a new life? Or will the crew finally find him and put an end to his gay ways?
Oh, jeez.
How messed up is that? But that was kind of cool to see Tony finally say no to temptation. You know, he's got Carmella. She helped him through his gunshot coma. She stayed there with him. She, you know, loved him. And, it seems like they're getting it together. And now he meets this Century 21 slut. And the slut tries to, you know, sell him. She wants him to sell this meatpacking warehouse. And he finally goes over to sign the papers. And they're just about ready to get it on. And he tells her to split. So it was actually pretty cool. I don't know what's going on. Oh, then the other part is the kid. What's the kid? Tony Jr., Anthony Jr.? What a punk he's turning out to be. He tries to kill Uncle Jr. That's RC didn't mention that. Since he didn't mention it, I will.
Well, I forgot. I got it now.
No, I'm sorry. He goes over to the old folks or whatever this nut house that they're keeping Uncle Jr. with a knife. He's going to kill him. And the knife drops. He doesn't kill him. The cops get him. Tony goes there and Tony says to him, "You're a nice guy. Don't," and basically trying to tell his son, "don't go the way I've gone." And his son says, "You're a hypocrite." Every time you see that scene where in Godfather where Michael shoots the cops that shot his dad, you say that's your favorite scene in the movie. And Tony tries to explain it away by saying it's just a movie. So obviously he doesn't want Anthony Jr. to be like him, but we'll see whether that works. That I think that Anthony Jr. is in big trouble. I think he needs like a military academy or something. Maybe I got a great storyline. He joins the 89th Airborne, or the 81st, or whatever the hell it's called. He goes over to Iraq, slaughters everybody in sight with a turban, and comes home a hero. I like it. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, Susan Sarandon said she had death threats because she's opposed to the war. Join the club, Susan. I've had them because I'm in support of it. I've had probably more death threats than you. Me and my family. How about you? And the immigration boycott and rallies and all that stuff today seem to go off without a problem. And everybody is everyone's cool, waving flag. That's cool. I like it. I'm in favor of it. Do it. I was telling you, I want everybody to be a citizen and then shoot on sight at the border. What do you think? See, that to me is a good compromise. Everyone who's here now gets citizenship. Everybody else that tries to get in, shoot on sight. Just as soon as they put one little tootsie in the Rio Grande, from the high-powered rifle. All right, we have a flashback by request coming up. The Phil Hendry Show's final broadcast ever, June 23rd. So now's the time to get your backstage pass and download all that classic audio, man, because after the 23rd, it's going to be gone. The 23rd of June is when we'll be performing our last program. Maybe we got to make it a webcast or something. I don't want any goodbyes, and I don't want no petitions. I don't want any parties. I don't want anything. Do you understand? Nothing. We were here, we did what we did, and now we're leaving. So please, I appreciate the love and the concern and all of you guys. This is what I want to do. Honest to God, I do. I want to do it so bad I could scream. I've just had it with, I love doing this radio show, but I cannot abide the business of terrestrial radio any longer. It's either satellite or bust. You know they used to say California or bust? Satellite or bust. Just consider me in my covered wagon here, man. Satellite or bust. Otherwise, I'm just going to retire to the life of a working actor, which means, you know, getting up, going on auditions, being told, yeah, it's really great, thank you, leaving, waiting for your agent to call, all that crap. You know, be just, you know, my wife's got a gig, we got money put away. So we're good. And this has been a great run. I've enjoyed every bloody minute of it. I talked to Brian Glicklick from our computer, you know, our computer guy up there. Brian said, whatever you need, man. You got it. So I'm thinking What was he offering me to do, man? He wanted to do some like freebies for the website. You know, allow people in access for a couple of days to download stuff. Maybe we'll do that. But the one thing I do want to mention is I heard of some people getting up petitions. No. That's not about that. It's not. You could sign 8 million names to the petition. I'm not going to. I don't want to do it anymore. You could have 10 million names in a petition. I would say no. You could offer me $100 million to come back. Well, then I'd say yes. I will come back for the salary of $100 million a year. How about that? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Our number will be back with our flashback by request on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, I think tomorrow night is, tomorrow night's the season finale of Teachers. The show that stars, it stars Justin Bartha, Sarah Alexander, Dion Richman, Kali Rocha, Phil Hendry, Matt Winston, Sarah Shahi, me, Phil Hendry. And tomorrow night on NBC at 9:30 Pacific and Eastern and all that other, it's going to be the last one, baby. And this is called Pretty in Pink. It's the prom. Now, let me comment on Teachers for a moment. That show, I've enjoyed doing that show. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I told you that 2 weeks ago we stiffed the number bad. It sucked. However, when you look at that show, and I'm just saying this out loud, not that any NBC executives are listening. I don't know that they are. I'm just saying this to like you guys. That show is starting to come into its own. The one thing that it's got to stop being is about Justin and Sarah Alexander's characters and their romance. There's nothing. I love Justin. He's a great actor and Sarah's terrific, but we got to make it about everybody. You know, got to make this show is now about everybody. It ain't about Justin and Sarah. It ain't about Jeff and Alice. It's about all of the people. That's number one. Number two, physical comedy. Number three, no more claustrophobic scenes where we're all jammed together around a bloody computer screen. Make it about the school. Make it about topical issues having to do with schools and students. Okay? God knows there's enough freaking material there. And I think we are going to go into, if they give us another season, which I have no idea if they will, but if they do, then we'll be going into the second season with a really strong, strong attitude in place. This show was fine when it started out about Justin and Sarah's, fine, great, that's done, baby, that's done. No more about how he wants to get in bed with Alice, okay? We get it already, man. You know, either you're gonna or you ain't. You got a whole lot of other folks. Frankly, I think the show should be called Dick Green and Teachers, meaning Mike here. I'm kidding, but you know. Now, I bet you some of this stuff has been going through the heads of some of the people over there, and maybe some of it hasn't. I have no idea. Are we going to get picked up for another season? I have no idea. Based upon that number we stiffed, I'd say no. But I will tell you this. Like I said last week, and I'm going to say it again because it bears repeating, the number that we posted last week was higher than The Office did a year before. Now, you can tell me how bitchin' The Office is. We beat The Office's season finale from a year before. Now, maybe that means in some people's minds that people don't, all of their taste is in their rear end. I don't know. But I'm telling you, if you're just looking at the raw number on that alone, and the fact that the show is getting stronger, with the exception of that one putrid episode about the online golf tournament, the show's getting stronger. I would say, were I in charge of the network, let's give it an order of 26. I'm kidding. I would say, well, let's give it another shot. Why not? Come on, baby. Give it a little, just one more kick in the ass for old time's sake, huh? Just one more run. And if it stinks to high heaven, you could pull it after three. Let's go ahead and run another 13. How would he say, woohoo, another 13, baby. If it smells it up, go ahead, pull it. Just give me something to do this summer, huh? A little something to do. Well, I'm right around for the big offers to pour in, you know. All right, it's time now for our flat. What do you think, Mark? Doesn't that make sense? He's nodding his head like, you poor, pathetic bastard. All right, it's time now for our flashback by request, and this is from Danny Shade. Says, hey, Phil, I love the show. I really want to hear the one. I think it was Justin McElroy, the high school senior, where he started his own religion based on the Harry Potter books. Keep up the good work. You rock, Danny Shade. Here it is, Danny. It's Justin McElroy and the Harry Potter religion.
You make me laugh. You know, if you were good. My son and that's the way you talked about me and your father, I would make you pay for your own schooling, and maybe Potter would pay for it for you.
Cool, that's fine with me.
What makes you so holier than thou, I'd like to know?
Because I know better about stuff than my parents do. They're stupid.
That's no way for you to talk about your parents. Well, where is your respect, if that's what that religion teaches you?
I love my mom. She just...
Oh, I'd love you to love me that way and love your mom and do the things and say the things you say about her.
She's fine. She's just like a slut. I mean,
oh, boy, I would
slut?
Like to know what you would
you
say about her if you didn't like her.
Well,
she's paying your bills. She's paying your school. By gee, I'd take that money away and make you pay it for yourself. I wouldn't give you a damn dime.
Hey, can I tell you something?
No, if it's not, just think that anything you say is perfect.
No, I don't. I just want
to
say that.
Well, that's it. As you get older, how many times you're going to realize how stupid you really are?
Well, my mom was really sad when they canceled your show, Golden Girls B.
Oh, you're too much. It's very sad to listen to you.
What, are you making fun of this? You calling her B. Arthur now?
Sounds like B. Arthur to me.
Ah, big deal. It's all you jerks that don't realize that to each his own. You be who you want to be, but don't you dare beat up a Catholic or beat up a Jew or beat up anybody else.
I didn't
what
beat up
gives
a Jew.
You the right?
I didn't beat up a Jew. I beat up a Christian kid because he said that Harry Potter, he was talking smack on Potter, so I gave him a beating.
Well, what right did you have to do that? What made you gave you the permission you can beat somebody up because they don't believe like you do?
Because he's talking God talk and he sounded like a jerk.
Well, so do you.
Yeah,
believe me, you got me. You got double jerk.
Yeah, but I'm cool. He was a retard.
You're not cool. You're stupid.
No.
And someday when you get older, you're gonna look back and think, what made me be so dumb?
No.
And my mother paid college money for me to learn like this. Boy,
hey, it's the least she can do for being a suburban sex.
It isn't the least she could do. She don't have to do it. If you were my son, I'd make you go out and earn your own money and pay your own bills, and I wouldn't give you one dime. You're a disgrace to your group and Harry Potter too.
Did you like have a stroke or something? Because
you know, I don't even pay attention to what you're saying because the more you try to insult me, the more you're more stupid. That's all.
Well,
you have no respect for anybody but you, and then you don't even have that.
Well,
you're a disgrace to your age.
It just sounds like the right side of your face is paralyzed or something.
Please knock it off.
What? All I'm saying is Harry Potter is way cooler than Jesus.
Well, no. That's all right. If that's what you believe it.
I do.
But don't think anybody else has to believe it.
I didn't. I don't want them to tell me I have to say under
God.
Yeah,
but you have no right criticizing others.
Well, why do they tell me that I have to...
make you so smart that you can know that we're wrong and you're right. You got a long way to go, and you're going to have a lot of downs. And when you get up there, I wish you a lot of luck. Because I doubt if you will.
Do you, like, have anybody change your Depends for you, or do you...
Okay, kid.
That doesn't bother me.
No.
See, that's his education. That's how stupid
Look
he is
kid.
And how...
No.
He don't know anything. He just thinks he does.
He don't know anything. God, where'd you go to school? Like, retard tech?
Go ahead. Keep it up. Have fun.
Justin, what you're
someday,
doing here...
Someday, you may need your mother... And you won't have her. And that's what you deserve.
What am I going to need
You have
need my
no
mother?
Respect for your parents.
The only thing I need my mom for is for her to go out on the street corner and make a few bucks so I
well,
can get some Captain Crunch or something.
Oh,
keep
my
it
God,
up, kid. You keep sounding more and more stupid.
You
go,
must really hate
up.
Your mother.
No, I love my mom. Just, you know.
Oh, I'd hate you to love a mother like you do. That's no way to love a mother. Love a mother, you have a little respect for her. You look up to her. And then you really love her.
Look,
but the way you talk about her, how dare you do that?
Look
how
up her
dare
what?
You?
I'm supposed to look up her what?
You
okay,
should have
look.
Respect for your mother more than you have. It's a shame
can
the
you,
way you're talking.
Can you just say the following phrase? This house is clean.
All right. That's cool. Justin McElroy, by request, a flashback on the Harry Potter religion. Justin apparently was, what were they doing, man? They were so into Harry Potter, they started their own religion where it's no longer Jesus, it's Harry. So that's a flashback from last year here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. If you want to hear something, all you have to do is Email us at phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com, and we'll get your request in. Don't forget, we have our Phil Henry Celebrity No Limit Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament May 27th at the Bicycle Casino. There's a $200 buy-in, a $30 entry fee. Registration starts at 2. If you want some more information, you can go to thebike.com. That's thebike.com, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that. And all of the money, by the way, goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. You know, I forgot to mention Mimi when I was thanking everybody last Thursday, and I asked Michelle, would you please look up Mimi's last name, because I can't pronounce it, and she did, and I don't have it. Do you know what it is? Mimi, you know who you are, don't you? Maybe you don't know who you are. Well, do any of us know who we are? Anyway, Mimi's maiden name is Wong.
Well, what's her new name, like Jones?
Yeah, it's Mimi Jones.
Morning.
Anyway, Mimi is she works as a writer and producer in television, but she's also a member of the board of my friend's place. There's a lot of people who give of their time without pay to keep my friend's place going. And over the years, you know, we've raised money for them. Well, anyway, I wanted to thank Mimi because she does this thing every year that is it's a fool's errand in a lot of ways. And by that, I mean it's an impossible thing. But since I've only got 15 seconds to tell you about it, I will defer until after the break. And then I'll tell you what it was and what it is that Mimi has attempted to do for me. As a way of saying thanks for the money that we raise for my friend's place. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous, too-big-for-terrestrial Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
So anyway, there's this gal, Mimi Wong. Sorry, Mimi, I'm using your maiden name, but I can't pronounce your new name, which is Tedakabotokababa, I think is what it is. Anyway, how do you like that, butchering someone's last name? I can't pronounce it. It's T-E-D, and then there's a bunch of C's and H's. It's almost Armenian slash...
Thai or Burmese.
Burmese, yeah. But Mimi, every year, set about on what you might call a fool's errand. And you know what a fool's errand is. It's an errand to accomplish something that cannot be accomplished. However, she gave it a shot. She gave it a shot. And she's the only person in my life who ever did this for me. And I couldn't even believe it was being done because I've never sought this kind of honor. I've never believed in seeking honors like this because you have to seek them. In other words, in the radio business, if you want to win a George Foster Peabody Award, or if you want to win a Marconi, or if you want to win like the Billboard Magazine Radio Personality of the Year Award, you have to submit tapes. You have to say, I want to win this award. Here's my work. I've never done that. Mimi did it for us. She would come over here. I'm putting your name up for a Peabody Award, Phil. Well, you know, you're really nice to do that, Mimi, but I don't care. I'm going to do it. Well, I mean, I don't. Come on, let's go. So she'd have Mark dub off some tapes, and she would take the tapes home with her, and she'd listen to them, and then she'd put together a presentation, and she would submit our name, and then the Peabody people. Run by Mr. Peabody. I always thought it's actually Mr. Peabody and Poindexter. And who's the other one? Seymour. And Mr. Peabody would go, well, let's get in the Wayback Machine. Anyway, they'd say, yeah, that's great. What is this? You know, and they didn't get it. So, but every year she'd be back. I'm back with the Phil Henry tapes. Here it is. Peabody Award. Well, they only give awards like that out to cats like Limbaugh or whoever. In other words, guys that do presentations that they can grasp. So we never did win a Peabody, but Mimi, you win a Peabody in my heart and in my mind. You win not a George Foster Peabody, but as I said, a Mr. Peabody Award, which I think is a much higher honor. Thanks for doing that. Thanks, Mark. Mark would run the tapes off, and he'd tell her, he'd go, what do you got me doing this for, huh? I guess just start running the tapes. Yeah, but baby, I can't. Come on. We thank you for that, Mimi, and I forgot to thank you the other night. And actually, you deserve your own segment, so we're giving that to you. And she's one of the people that I the other night I was thinking of everybody that I wanted to thank for 16 years of this radio show, 33 bloody years in this business, and she slipped our mind. As I think of more people, I want to mention them because, you know, like June 23rd is the last show, and then that's it for me in the radio business. Now, I got some email to read. Most of it is responding to that, so cue the email music, bud. Talk about gay.
What do you mean? It's...
I just got done talking about how gay that Sopranos thing is, and you're laying this on me.
All right, I'll tear off and do it.
Put it back on. It's fine. I don't give a crap. Jesus. Hey, Phil, I can't believe you're retiring. I'm in the military, and I listen to your shows while I'm at work for my long 14-hour shift. Your show is one of the only few things that bring me joy in this world. And now I won't have it anymore. I just returned from a grueling 7-month deployment to Operation Enduring Freedom, and your show was the only thing that kept me going. I had about a year's worth of shows on my MP3 player and would listen to them every day and play them for my fellow troops. I will truly miss you, your show, and your views of the world. I will always be a huge fan. I appreciate your support for what I do. Having support from people like you makes me truly proud to serve. Will Briggs, San Antone. Here's one says, hey, Phil, we're all intelligent people. We are all intelligent people, and we're talking about these characters as real people and how much we're going to miss them. Personally, I'll miss Bud the most. I think he was closest to Phil, and I think Phil loves him the most. Yeah, right.
You do?
I hate your guts. Yeah, that's right, man. I love him.
You don't love me.
I hate your living guts. All right, now, yeah, pretending like you're crying. You don't give a crap. I think he was closest to Phil, and the work they work so closely together and have such a great love-hate relationship. There it is in a nutshell. To me, Bud's a real person. No matter what you have to admire, the talent to make people real. I believe that is what pulls us into the show the most. It's an escape from reality. God bless Phil and whatever is next. Signed, Philip Packer? Well, that's,
Yeah.
Oh, well. Hey, Phil, I got a couple of questions for you. Why did you start beeping the word mouth from Ted's theme song? Because I was told to. Was it just to be funny, or did somebody ask you to do it? Yeah, I was told to do it. It seems strange to bleep. You're right. Because mouth is about the least offensive word you could put in there. Well, that's why we bleeped mouth. Actually, I was told to bleep the bloody thing out. What did we bleep out? We want to put our meat in your bleep? Also, where did you come up with Roland Schwinn's name? Being a Schwinn myself, I know there aren't that many of us around, and I'm curious when I hear the name. Thanks, Josh Schwinn. I came up with a name, dude, from the bike. I had a Schwinn bike when I was a kid, so I thought... And the name Roland is so Germanic, and Schwinn sounds Germanic, so I guess I wanted him to be just some big fat kraut. Many friends and I are very devastated to hear about your retirement. I have heard you on many shows talk about the fact that you have every show backed up, and I was wondering if everything will eventually become available in MP3. I would gladly pay double or even triple the amount to have that kind of access to your show material once the show goes off the air. You'll be missed, Andrew, a.k.a. Mud Squirtin'. Oh, these are the sweet, feathery Jesus people. Well, like I said, I talked to Brian, and we would like to make everything available to you. I'd like to, and I don't know how we do that, though. Do we put all... How do you do that? You just start putting full shows on the website? And it may be an impossibility unless they want to keep the website alive for... Well, I frankly would rather they not. I mean, after I'm done, I want the website down. I want my name completely disassociated from the radio business once and for all. Unless, of course, it can help me get a movie part. Here's one from Mike Gallagher, the talk show host. No, I'm kidding. Here's from Kevin Gallagher. Phil, thanks for all the laughs during my brief acquaintance with your program. Ever since I moved to Las Vegas from D.C. a year ago, I've been a huge fan of your show. Your podcast makes my morning bus commute much more enjoyable. Oh, God. He's one of those cats that sit on the bus with the thing and is just like in the bag lunch in his lap. And you're... I'm just kidding around here, pal. He says, although it makes it hard to impress girls when you are maniacally giggling like Herb Sewell's demented son and wearing the headphones with the bag lunch, man. Anyway, I think you're a genius, and I wish you the best in your future endeavors. Great show as always. Kevin Gallagher, haul out. Actually, I ought to be getting an email from all of the guys that have come in here to watch this show or who've stopped by to watch my show. So here, I'll make up email from radio hosts that have come by to watch my show. Dear Phil, thanks for letting me watch your show when I was in New York. Thanks, Glenn Beck. Dear Phil, thanks for letting me come in and watch your show. You're a genius. Kevin and Bean. Dear Phil, thanks for letting me come in and watch your show. Howard Stern. Dear Phil, thanks for letting me come in and watch your show. Doug McIntyre. Dear Phil, thanks for letting me come in and watch your show. I forget. All right, here's one. Phil, today I heard of your retirement and the reasons why. I've been lucky to be in a career for 18 years that I really like doing. I have always told myself that when this stops being fun, I will find something else to do. I respect and admire your decision. You've given laughter to so many. You should not be expected to sacrifice your own. Those that say you should not leave are being selfish and should be happy for you. I'm sorry to see you go, and I will miss your show. If you were ever in my neck of the woods, I would love to buy you a beer. Sincerely, Susan Sarandon. Great that she would write me. Sergeant Tim Holtz, Pima County Sheriff's Department, Tucson. Wow. Hey, there's a radio station out in Arizona. Did you hear about this? It's got a lot of people talking, and it doesn't have commercials, and the music mix is cool. Everybody's into it. And I don't know this station. There was a front page article about it in the LA Times today. So why not just keep your website the way it is with all your archive stuff, and we'll keep paying the $6, $7 a month and surf the archives for yucks. Just keep the archives active, man. We'll pay you, dickhead. That's not a bad idea. Thing of it is I got to make sure I get the money from that thing. I haven't seen a nickel from that website, man, and I know we made close to $1 million last year. What's going on with that website? Hey, Phil, you don't know how many nights while driving a black and white around a large city in Southern California, you kept me amused and laughing while the rest of the town was going to hell. Thanks a lot. We'll miss you. BJ, a cop. Just a cop. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Nice emails. Nice people. Sweet trip, Henry. Sweet Henry. Good trip. Good time. Get out soon, sweetheart. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I got Harvey Weirman on the line for Law Talk. Harvey Weirman's Law Talk in just a moment, but I thought I'd give you the latest on United 93, the movie that debuted at the Tribeca Film Festival, or as my wife called it on her radio show, the Tribeca Film Festival. I'm kidding around, honey, but that's what it's called. I'm sorry. Maria is on early mornings now on The Connection in Ventura. Listen to her, 6 to 9. Anyway, the United 93 opened $11 million. It was second only to Robin Williams' RV, $16.4 million. So it was the number two grossing movie of the weekend. But the more significant number is it had the highest per-screen average among major new releases, $6,465. So it averaged more per screen than RV. The other interesting thing was the tracking surveys, these are part of these surveys that studios do, showed that there would be more interest among men. Well, the actual numbers of women were higher than men, 52% female audiences for United 93. And finally, there's one other number here that was, the average patron, generally, when they ask the question, would you recommend this film, the average is somewhere around 55% of film patrons will say, yes, I would. That's the average for most movies. This was at 76%. But that's not fair, though, to say against the average. I mean, because that's just not fair. But in any event, 76% said they would recommend it. The people that said they would not recommend it, it's emotionally a very, very powerful movie. It's a very wrenching movie. People came out of the movie theaters with tears in their eyes. Universal has done a pretty decent job of promoting it. They did pull a trailer early in April that showed scenes from the film, and instead they replaced the trailer with interviews with the director of the movie, Greengrass, and the passenger's relatives. And that kind of respectful sort of promotion has continued. Apparently, the surveys of, well, I already told you that. Apparently, the audience has responded positively. Young moviegoers especially seem to view United 93 as their story, a pivotal historic event that they had their own memories of, unlike others they had studied in history class. Lauren O'Leary, one of several George Washington University students who saw the movie, said, I would say 9/11 is our generation's defining moment, like Pearl Harbor or the Kennedy assassination. In Orange County, California, teary-eyed teens walked out of theaters in uncharacteristic silence. Melody Polanco, a 17-year-old, said, I was in the eighth grade when it happened. She is now a theater student at Cypress College who joined her sisters at the Westminster matinee. I remember watching the second airplane crash. Many churchgoers were drawn to the film by the tale of Todd Beamer, a passenger who was credited with the rallying cry, Let's Roll. The story of Beamer praying with a GTE operator and quoting the 23rd Psalm before the uprising had been told and retold. For some filmgoers, of course, it's far too soon for a movie like United 93. Elena Pavlov and her husband Don Lumpkin They not only don't have the same last name, but they forget it, you know. Why don't you cats have the same? Eleanor Pavlov and Don Lumpkin. You married? Yeah. How about just one name? We'll go with either Pavlov or Lumpkin. I can't do this. No, it's Eleanor Pavlov and Don Lumpkin. How about if I call her Lumpkin and you... No, no, don't screw around with my name, pal. They live in New York's West Village. They sat at the snack bar Saturday waiting for the 10 p.m. showing of RV. We observed too much that day, said Pavlov, a creative director for an advertising agency who had watched the Twin Towers collapse. I guess for the rest of the country, it's not as raw. You know, if you're in an advertising business, though, if you're a creative director for an ad agency, you gotta stick your snout into the culture, man. You can't be sitting there throwing back freaking milk duds. Get your freaking Pavlov ass in there, baby. Hi, I'm the creative director for an advertising agency. That's why I avoid the culture. Her 12-year-old son, Cole, agreed. Looking up from a video game, he said United 93 was a load of crap. No, I'm kidding. He said it looks pretty hard to watch. That's terrible. Kid's going to get his ass kicked now because of what I said. How about that? But for many Western Pennsylvania residents who lived in the area where the plane went down, seeing United 93, even if it was difficult, was a solemn duty. The jetliner crashed in Somerset County, an area so rural, the nearest theater, Richland Cinemas, is 20 miles away. Said one, hell, I saw the damn thing crash. Why do I got to drive 20 miles to watch it crash again? No, he didn't say that. The man actually said it crashed so close it could have hit Johnstown, but it's part of our nation's history now, said Richard Rogers. All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, a little law talk. Harvey Wireman joins us. What do we got today, Harvey?
We have the story here, Phil, of Anna Nicole Smith. She's won her Supreme Court appeal. And I find this fascinating because she will be allowed to continue to fight for her part of J. Howard Marshall's estate. Now, she was married to this gentleman. He's got an estimate, or had an estimated, where he's dead now, so he's not worth, he is not worth this because he's dead. But the...
Well, what would be worth it then?
It's a good question. Legally, he's dead, so he's not worth anything because of the corpse. But I mean, unless you can legally, what a corpse is worth? I mean, you'd have to weigh it. There's no value to a corpse, so he's not worth as we used to say, he's not worth a GD thing. So,
well, then, what's the $1.6 billion?
Well, his estate. His estate. Okay, that's it. Yeah. Now, he died in 1995 at the age of 90 as a result of smothering between, apparently he was smothered by her breasts. Now, that's he had put his head between them and was doing the usual blah, 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 and apparently hadn't come up for air. And so the idea is...
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.